What a joy and a privilege it is to be with you this morning. Once again, good to see Pastor Matthew and Sister Gwen back today also. But when I got his text message on Friday and I read it over and I read it over again and then I read it over again, and my heart broke for him. Because I know how it is, and a lot of you folks know how it is too, when you got a loved one that's battling a sickness or an illness, how hard that is. We've all been there. And when he asked me to come again, my first thought in my heart was, you know, when I was a boy growing up and I went to church services, we used to all the time see folks gather up around the front and pray for one another. Pray for those sicknesses. And my first thought was this morning, I'm just going to be myself. But the Lord put this on my heart, and I ain't going to do any different now that he's sitting back there, and him and his wife. But boy, I remember years ago as a kid, and right before I was converted, I used to have a thing they did, a tradition, you might call it, back in the churches. They'd always ask, they'd say, if there's somebody here or if somebody's got a prayer request on her heart, would you let that be made known? And boy, I remember many times I'd go to them old churches and I was in trouble. I was lost. They'd say that, and boy, my hand would go up. Or they'd say, if there's somebody here, come up and give us your hand. Man, I'd run up at all. But that was something that hung with me as a kid. A scripture said the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And man, I'd either lift my hand or I'd make my way up at all and give them my hand. Because in my heart, I knew that the saints of God, where their prayers was going, they was going to heaven's country. And I wanted them folks praying for me. And I know Brother Matthew and Sister Gwen and Matthew's little brother, and his family, want you all praying for him. So I'm going to mind the Lord this morning. And since he's here, your pastor and his wife, I'd like to ask him to come right up here with me. Before we get started in the message this morning, folks, and anybody would like to come up here, maybe lay a hand on my Brother Matthew and Sister Gwen, I think we ought to pray. Folks, we ought to be praying more so today than we ever have been. So come on, anybody that has a mind to come, we're going to start this out. Come on, brothers, sisters. Old saying is, it says a family that prays together, you know what? They stay together. And you know, as I preached here last Sunday about how bad we need one another, the church, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, and we ought to be exhorting one another, the Bible says. So I ask you, the Lord put it on my heart when I got his text, when I read his text, that we need to be praying for this brother, expecting miracles and praying for God's will to be done in that young man's life. Amen. So join me in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you today just thanking you from the bottom of our hearts. Lord, that you let us have another day, Lord, another opportunity, Lord, to call on you. You said for you us to cast our cares on you, for you care for us. God, we have a care this morning. That young man down there in Florida, Lord, that's had some issues. Father, we lift him up to you today and ask that your will be done in his life in the name of Christ. Father, we lift up Brother Matthew, his brother. We know how that is, Lord. We ask you that you'd strengthen our pastor here and his wife and his mom and dad and the entire family. We ask you, Lord, that you'd walk with them through this and hold their hand and show them your love and your miracles. God, we can't thank you enough for that. that when times of need, we can come to you, for you care for us. We ask you to bless the entire family, Father. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Well, this message, I was thinking about it, and you know, sometimes preachers' wives, they're our worst critic, and sometimes our best critic. You know all about that. Mine is too. And mine said, well, you preached a good message, but it was a little too long. And I thought of you and how you told your church every Sunday, said, well, I'm not going to keep you too long. But sometimes preachers are guilty of doing that pretty bad. And you know, I'm reminded of a visiting preacher and his wife. They got invited to a church to come and share the message and the gospel with folks. And they come in and he come up to the stand and he was looking around and he looked back at his wife and she was holding up a little sign in front of her that said KISS. And he kept looking at that and pondering that as the message went on and looked back and she's holding that sign up that said KISS. He told her after the service, he said, honey, these folks invited me to come down to share the gospel with them, and there's no way possible I could come down and give you a kiss. And she said, honey, that wasn't it at all. She said, that means keep it short, sweetie. So we'll try to be mindful of that the best we can today. But when we looked at, and I tried to get out of this, you know, we're guilty of that sometimes too. Oh, no, Lord, not that. But before we go any further, I'd like to ask the Lord, help me if that's okay. So I need his help. Heavenly Father, once again, I come to you, Lord, asking you for your help. Because, Lord, we know that within ourselves we can do nothing. But, Lord, we can do everything through you. And we thank you for that. Thank you for walking with me, Lord. Thank you for talking with me, Lord. And just telling me I'm your own. And Lord, I tell you, I'm just so thankful this morning to be one of your children. And we ask that you'd bless our service today. Everything that we do, say and do here today, may it honor and glorify your high and holy name. For you are worthy, Lord, to be praised and lifted up today, God. We ask you, Father, that you'd be high and lifted up in this place today. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. As we thought about this message and last weekend, I thought, wow. I've been studying through the book of Ruth. We did an in-home Bible study in our home that we just finished up the book of Ruth. And I thought, well, that'd be a good place to go. And then I've been looking at it, doing another study at the church up around our neck of the woods, and it was going through the book of Judges, and I thought, well, that'd be good too. But you know, I was sitting and wrestling with these things a little bit, then I had a conversation of me and my father. My natural father came up, and he'd say one time, and you all probably had this same conversation, but it was he would had a saying that said, if you don't do this, Mike, he said, I'm going to give you a weapon. Anybody ever remember them statements as a kid growing up? If you didn't do this or you didn't do what your parents said, that you was going to get in trouble? What happens the same way with the Lord. So we got to mind the Lord, and I sure don't want to get a weapon. So last week, I gave you 12 of the I ams of the Bible. Who we are, our identity is in Christ. And folks, I think we need to, as I said last week, reiterate them more so today than we ever have. We need to know who our true identity is. We need to know who we are. We need to know where we're going, folks, because it's so, so important. not just for us, but it, you look at what 1 Peter 5:8 says, and we're going to get into these IMs, and there's just five, so we won't keep you too long today, but they're so, so important, and they help me so much, and they'll help you too, to make you feel bold. They really will. But the reason why we need to be armed, as we looked at Ephesians 6 last weekend and having the whole armor of God on, it says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, and be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom that he may devour. That's what he said. And you know, I was sitting there on the counter in my kitchen this morning, and my wife walked by and I had a video playing there, but it was a David and Goliath. Something I'd seen there, and she said, David and Goliath? She said, thought you was going somewhere else. I said, no, this is just really good. But you know, them old patriarchs, David, them Hebrew children that faced the fiery furnace, boy, they knew their identity this morning, folks. They did. They were secure in their salvation. And I heard a fellow say, everybody says that little David, when he went up against that massive giant, and that spearhead, they said that that giant had weighed 15 pounds. You know how when you grab 15 pounds, I'd say, boy, that was pretty heavy. But this guy was using it as his spearhead to throw. And they said that David, little David, that tended the sheep, how he was such an underdog. And this gentleman I was listening to, and he caught my attention. He said the very minute the little David, he put on King Saul's armor, and it didn't fit him. He said, this don't fit me. I can't wear that. And he said the very minute that little David grabbed that sling, that giant was in serious trouble. Folks, I'll declare to you today that the minute that we grab this book, the minute that we realize our identity in Christ Jesus the Lord, the adversary, he's got to flee from us because he's in trouble, not because of us, but because of him. Because of him. He said to be sober and be vigilant because there's coming a day. And listen to what John 10:10 says, and we'll get into this message. He said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Bless God, it doesn't stop there. He said, I am come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. I'll tell you, folks, it don't matter what you're going through, Brother Matthew, or what any of you that know Christ is going through, we have an abundant life in this man called Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad today, folks, that it don't matter what you're facing in life, whether it's sickness or death. Last week, I said one of the IMs, it says, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless his name. It don't matter what we face with through the rest of this day. It's all right if you know Christ, because he'll see you through it. He really will. Bless his name. Have life more abundantly. Have you got life more abundantly today? I hope and pray there's not one under the sound of our voice that can't say, wow, I've got an abundant life. Boy, it's easy, as we said last week here, how, you know, the old adversary, how we need help because we can get discouraged. We can get weighed down with the cares of this old world. But if we, and they'll overcome us and give us a hard time if we don't know our true identity in Christ Jesus the Lord. But if we know our identity in Christ, we ought to be high stepping it. We really will. You know, I have an identity as a Saunders. That was my mother was, I was a Saunders. My mom and dad was a Saunders. So I have an identity. I look somewhat like maybe my dad does. My hands. I've done the same thing for a living that my dad did. And I'd often say as a boy, you know, we've all done this, and say, do you know who my dad is?
my mom, if you're mean to me, I'll go tell them. Anybody remember that? But boy, I'm glad today I know who my Heavenly Father is. I really do. I know who He is. And He loves me. And He, as the song says, He walks with me and He talks with me and He cares for me and He lets me know that I am His own. And that's who I want to tell people about. Do you know my Heavenly Father this morning? I have an identity with Him. So last week we looked at 12. This week we're only going to look at 5. And now, do like the visiting preacher, we'll try our best to keep it short, sweetie. Lord help. Last week there was 12 of them. We looked at, I'm a child of the living God. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm forgiven. I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm justified. I'm a new creature. I'm led by the Spirit. I am casting my cares on Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through Him. So we'll continue that theme today for a few minutes of time, and I want to listen, quote a few quotes to you, and listen to these. Quotes, the more we reaffirm who we are in Christ, the more our behavior will begin to reflect our true identity. Praise the Lord. I want to be more like Him. Bible says, one of them says, oh, I want to decrease. But I want Him to increase, folks. That's where it's at right there. The more we reaffirm who we are in Christ, the more our behavior will begin to reflect our true identity in Him. And boy, I tell you what, we're overcomers when we realize who we are and where we're going, folks. We can be pretty bold. We really can. Listen to this one. It says, outside of Christ, I am weak. And that's the truth of the matter right there. Without Christ, folks, outside of Christ, we're weak and we can do nothing. But listen to this. Inside of Christ, I am strong. Praise the Lord. Inside of Christ, I am strong. Listen to this one. My deepest awareness of myself is that I am deeply loved by Jesus Christ. How about that? In my deepest awareness of myself that I am deeply loved by Christ, and listen to this, and I have done nothing to earn it or deserve it this morning. Grace, grace, grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, folks. That's what it is. Amazing grace, as the brother sung. Who I am in Christ is simply amazing. I'll never forget, and I said this last week here. The night on Thursday night when the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul, I was amazed. Amazed that Christ loved an old wretch like me and saved my soul, establish my goings. Folks, I don't walk the same way. I don't talk the same way. I don't have the same desires. I've heard it said, well, Brother Mike, you believe you can do anything you want to? Yes, I do. If you've had your want-tos changed, you can. He puts a new want-to on the inside of you. Praise the Lord this morning. I heard a song by a guy not very long ago, and he titled the song, It's Jesus' Fault. And I thought, wow, what is Jesus' fault? And he said, if you miss the old me, he said, it's Jesus' fault, because Jesus is a life changer this morning. Aren't you glad for a life change this morning in Christ Jesus the Lord? Aren't you glad that you can stay here and declare, hey, I'm one of those I ams this morning. When things ain't going your way, when there's afflictions in your life, boy, I tell you what, I like the butts of the Bible. You get in and you start looking at the butts of the Bible. that BUTS and what it is, and I probably quoted one maybe last week, but he, one of them butts that said, the afflictions of you and me are many. King James says the afflictions of the righteous are many, comma. And you look at that and say, well, Brother Mike, it says righteous. How can I be righteous? Because of what Jesus done on the cross, you're declared righteous. And then he took that little butt. Sometimes in butts put in the Bible after you read that butt, and I look at that, I get excited sometimes because the butt means something good about to happen. In this situation here, he said, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Aren't you glad we have a delivering God this morning? He does what he says he'll do. He's a right on time God also. But some of these, we'll move on. Our true identity is found when we stop being who we are and stop being who we were created to be. Praise the Lord. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. So look at this first one, I am. When I started looking at these, I told the church last Sunday, I said, I looked at these and there were 50 of them I was looking at. I said, wow, we can't go there. So last week we done 12. This week we're only going to do 5 if it's the Lord's will. So you guys pray this morning. And boy, I tell you what, I find such great encouragement in these I ams of the Bible. They make me feel like a somebody. But I'll declare I know through His word, I am a somebody. And I'm going somewhere someday. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. And I know who I'm going to spend eternity with, folks. Most important thing we can know in our heart today. Most important thing you can do with your life is to know who your life is in and your identity, where you're going. Bless His holy name. You know, when I was first saved, this used to trouble me so bad. I was first saved, and I remember I was doing residential construction, and I was driving from one job to the other. I used to have conversations with the Lord. And I had a question for Him. I said, Lord, what will I say to You when I see You? I couldn't come up with any words, Brother Matt. And that distressed me bad. That bothered me so bad. Broke my heart in two. What will I say when I stand before You? Well, folks, I want to tell you what kind of God we got. He come to me, and you know what? He comforted me. And He said, Mike, He said, son, He said, when you stand before Me, you won't have to say a word. I'll look down and see My son's blood applied to your life. And here you say, enter ye in to the joys of the Lord. Folks, it ain't my goodness. It ain't nothing I've done. It ain't nothing you've done, but it's what He did. He said He stood as a lamb slain before the foundations of the world, folks, because He loved you. I am chosen. Whew. Think about that. Let those three words ring in your ear a minute. I am chosen. I'm chosen. Listen to what Ephesians 1:4 says. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Listen to this. Grasp this morning. I'm chosen according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before you and I ever was, He loved us. This morning, you talk, that's love this morning. And that's He's wanting to have a relationship with you today and me. Bless His holy name. Listen to this. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. I am part of the family of God. Bless the Lord. You look, when I drove down the interstate this morning and I looked at the beautiful trees, how beautiful they are right now, and I got to thinking, wow, just how good God has made things for us right here on earth. This is a getting ready place. This is a preparation place. And he sure did do good. And when I started thinking, I looked at them trees, and then a thought come to me, 20th Street Church, Cross Point Church. You know, he made these places for us. Do you know why he did it? He loved us so much. He said, I know they'll need a place to go. He said, I know they'll need a place where they can gather together, to where they can have a small group, a walk-through life group, because they're sure going to need it in this old world. He gave us this place because he loves us, to where we can come in and get rid of the cares of this old world and pray for one another and lift one another up. We serve an amazing God today, and I want to lift his name up and declare, hey, I love him because of what he's done for us and what he's given us. I'm part of the family of God, chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love. My. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Listen to verse 6. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus the Lord. Aren't you glad you're one of the I Ams of the Bible? Aren't you thankful that you can stand, leave this place today and go home today and say, I am. As I said, my old pastor in Paintsville, Kentucky, I used to listen to his big old gruff voice. He's dead now. I said this last week, and it's worth saying again, folks. Our boldness in Christ, our true identity, will promote boldness in our life to where we can face and overcome the old adversary. Ephesians 6, having the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil and quench them fiery darts of his. But we can be so bold when we realize who we are in Christ. That old preacher, I could still see that old hand go up. So there's times in my life I get so bold. He said that I'd spit my tobacco in a pit bull's eye. But he said there's times in my life, folks, and I find it this way. I wished it wasn't, but it's the weakness of my old flesh. But he says there's times in my life, he said, one of them little old poodles can bark at me and I'll run as fast as I can. But God help us. It's a constant battle. The Bible says that the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, folks, and we have that battle. That's why it's so important that we realize who we are and our identity in Christ, so we don't get bogged down in this whole world. Listen to this one. Ephesians 2:13. I was hopeless. None of us likes to think that. We all like to think that we're in control of things. It's under my power to do this or do that, but no, it's not. I was hopeless. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, who were sometimes far off. You remember being far off, folks? Remember a time in your life that you're far off from Christ? I can't stand and declare to you today that even though we've been saved by the grace of God, through our disobedience, sometimes we can be far off. Our fellowship, our walking hand by hand, might not be all it should be. We'll be far off. But thank God that scripture don't make there. He said we are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. You know, he said that if we confess our sins, said he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And that reconciliation, that nighness comes back to us. Boy, I'll tell you today,
Get just as close, folks, to him as you can. And there's a way you can do that. I said, how do you get close to him? Bible says, draw nigh unto me. And he said, I'll draw nigh unto you. Get just as close to him, folks, as you can. Walk just as close to him each and every day. With him every day. Walk with him. Talk with him each and every day, because we're sure going to need it. And we sure need him. Boy, I do. Boy, I really do. You might ask me tomorrow. I might tell you, I might, one of them poodles barking me, and I might be running the other way. But right now, I could probably put up a pretty good fight against it by the help of the Lord. So it's important to know our true identity. We can't stress that enough in the time we're living in. We need to know our identity in Christ, who we are, because the Bible says that we're a city set on a hill. We was the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we need to be promoting that every chance we get, because time is swiftly drawing nigh. It really is. We need to be telling people about Christ. You talk about a workplace, folks, we got it. We got a workplace right now, more so than we ever did, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. To tell men and women, hey, to flee from the wrath to come. There's a better way. There's a Savior that wants to save you. There's a Savior that wants to take you to heaven with you when this life's over. Folks, that's the most important job we have today. We need to be warning men and women, hey, come on and go to heaven with me. And you know, bless God, we do enough fussing among ourselves. Bless God, help us to spend the rest of our days loving on one another, to where that we may edify our Father which is in heaven. I was hopeless. John 15:15. This one right here blows my mind when I think about me. I am a friend of Jesus. That's staggering. I am a friend of the Trinity of God. Think about that this morning. How that ought to perk us up a little bit. I'm a friend of Jesus. John 15:15 says this. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you my friends. Wow. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Bless his name today. Listen to that. Are you grasping the reality of that this morning? He said he called us his friends. He said, but I, who is that I? That's the one that hung on the cross. That's who that I is. He called us his friend. The one that said, Father, I'll go pay the sin debt. Called somebody like me and you his friend. Bless his holy name. That's mind-blowing this morning. Lord, thank you so much for calling me your friend. Listen to number 5. And the last one we'll speak of. I am someone deeply loved by God. There it is, the Godhead of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And I'm loved by Him. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Glory, hallelujah. Folks, I'll tell you what, I'm the worst. You know, everything us preachers preach at you, whether it be me or Brother Matt, you know what? When we preach it to you, we've preached it to ourselves first.
We really have. Because, my goodness, we need to grasp this. I'm telling you of who we are this morning. I tell you what I want to do. I want to realize I am one of the I Ams. I want to act and walk and look who my true identity is in Christ Jesus the Lord. I want to decrease. But folks, I want Him to increase so much in my life. Not for just what my benefits are, but for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for those out in the world. I want them to see Jesus. You know, sometimes you've heard it said that, you know, you might be the only Bible somebody ever reads. You know, I'll never forget talking about Brother Matt for just a minute of time. You know, I remember a time, out on Route 75, and how we have a need for one another. We have a need for the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, as preachers need one another. But I was out on 75 one time, and I was out at my Aunt June's house, and I was witnessing to a man. His name was Harold Perdue. And you know, the week before he was saved, I was nailed down in his living room between my aunt that was sick. And in between the chair he was sitting in, I was down on my knees and talking to him, telling him about the goodness of God and what God had done in my life. And you know, after I left that day, he said, you know, he said, the Lord impressed me just to get down on my knees with Brother Mike and be saved. But he said, then the thought come to me, oh, don't do that. No, devil cheated him out of it that day. And you know, I went down the next time and I was talking to him, and you know, I was just his best friend's son, and I'm thinking, Lord, my words are maybe not getting to where they should get with this man because of who I am and the closeness of it. I said, Lord, would you please send somebody else that might witness to him to help me in this. And you know, it seemed like it was that very same hour, doorbell rang. And I went and answered it that day. Went to the back door, and it was Brother Matt and Sister Gwen. And that day, God sent through another man the very words that man needed to hear. And Brother Matt and Sister Gwen had spoken. We was all back in the back bedroom, and my aunt was laying in the bed. I was sitting there on the bed with her. He come out of there after Brother Matt had spoke his words, and he said, I'm ready now. I'll never forget that day and them words. I'm ready right now. He gave his life right there, folks. And the reason I'm saying that is this. We can't stress the importance of how bad we need each other and how bad we need to be loving on each other. And the world sees us so many divisions, whether it's 20th Street or Cross Point or wherever it is, across the street, 20, right up the road here where I got married, across the street in Farewell Baptist Church there. God's just got one church. He's just got one bunch of people, and we're all going to the same heaven together. So Lord, help us. Lord, help me. I'm asking you today, I overlook my faults, and I'm willing to overlook your faults to where we can walk hand in hand through what time we have left to love one another. Folks, I believe this with all my heart today, that if we would do that very thing right there, overlook one another, love one another, have joy in our heart and love each other while we're spending time together, what a drastic impact it would have in this world, in this community. If our community of this, I grew up down here, of Cerrito, on the better part, you know. That's what they say. It's always a joke between us Cerrito boys and Canova folks that, you know, Cerrito was better than Canova and vice versa. But I was born on the other side of the tracks of Cerrito, on the worst part probably. So, but if we was to get to the place, I believe, folks, if in this community right now, if we would do that right here at this little church, if we'd love on each other like we should, and we would
overlook one another like we should, oh, I think we'd see a tremendous, tremendous impact, Brother Matt. Lord, help us. So, well, you know, they don't, Brother Matt, he dresses better than I do, and he's a better looking fellow than I am, which is all true. Or this one's, you all's much nicer than we are, and having all. Lord, help us, you know, to spend the rest of our days loving each other to where we could see the body of Christ grow. And people say, hey, it's a remedy, folks. It'll work. When we get to where we, you know, the Bible says when Zion travails, you know what it says? Sons and daughters will be born. You know, we're Zion. We're the church. And when we travail, and we, seems like we've lost that desire and that hurt for lost folks, but that desire to walk in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh Lord, help us. You know, I told my big brother back up on Snowshoe Mountain, you know, me and him's not always seen eye to eye or agreed like, you know, a lot of families don't. Even my sister back there, we probably don't agree on everything. But you know what? I told my brother on that mountain up there, I said, if God would help us, we'll spend the rest of our days loving on each other. Regardless, we ain't going to all agree. We ain't going to see things the same way. But that doesn't matter. What matters is to get ready to meet the Lord and to try to warn as many people. Come on. There's a heaven to gain, hell to shun. That's the most important, whether you believe everything I say or not. But for the common cause of Christ, we ought to be able to love one another. And for what's happening out in the world. Lorraine, you can look around and see, folks, what it is, how bad it is. I'm looking for the Lord to come. Well, I say to you today, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Make the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. May he lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in your heart. Thank you all. Thank you, Brother Matt, for allowing me to come. I don't feel like I'm a visitor. I feel like I'm at home here. I feel like, you know, I am a member here. We got a, well, you ain't on our church record book. If you was, we probably might push you now. But it don't matter where we go. We're not visitors. If you know Lord Jesus Christ, you're my brother and sister in Christ, and we are kin. So thank you for, I'm grateful to get to come, to get to worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ and declare that I love the Lord and we love the Lord and we can fellowship and have a great time together. You know, we're going to go to heaven together one of these days. What a glorious day that is. And my hope and prayer is that if there's one under the sound of my voice or listening to us by live stream, that my hope and prayer is that when this life is over, you'll get to go to heaven. I'm going to tell this one story. Come on my mind, and then I'm going to close. I still got about 5 minutes. But you know, when I was a kid, Matt might remember this. He's from this area and a lot of you folks. But do you remember when you turned out Main Street in Cerrito and you was going toward the tracks over to my side of town? There's several railroad tracks there. Back when I was a kid, on that far side of the railroad tracks, there used to be a little house, and I think that very house is sitting at the Cerrito Elementary School now in a parking lot. That very same shack. But whether you're riding a bicycle in all hours of the day, 24 hours a day, I believe there was a guy posted there. And when he heard a train whistle coming, you know what he'd do? He'd grab his stop sign in the day. Didn't have them fancy rails that we got now. But he had a thing that he carried, and he'd grab that stop sign, and he'd walk right out in the middle of the road, and he'd point that stop sign right there, and he'd stand there. And he'd hold that stop sign there until the train went by, declaring, hey, stop, there's danger. But at the nighttime, that same
guy, he'd carry that stop sign out there, but he had a lantern. Maybe some of y'all seen this. I remember it real vividly as a kid. I know my sister does. He'd hold that lantern up while that train was coming. Stop. Danger. You know, one time, there was a, I don't know whether it's a true story or what, but there was an accident on a train track there. That guy that was, person that was holding, working that shift on the night, somebody lost their life there and they took him to a court and he sued that guy. Long story short, he said, I was scared to death they was going to put me on the witness stand, because after the court was over, and he said this afterwards, and then everything they proved, they said there was no to come to the decision, there was no neglect or anything like that. After they left the court, that man that's working at night, he said, boy, I was scared to death they's going to put me on the witness stand. He said, well, why is that? He said, because I was afraid on that night when it got dark that I didn't stand out there at that particular moment with my lantern burning. Folks, I told you that story to say this. God's declared that we're the light of the world. God help us, what time we have left in this world to hold that lantern up. To warn. Hey, I ain't got an enemy in this world that I don't want to go to heaven with me. Folks, it's our duty to hold that lantern up. Hey, stop, there's danger. Stop here, but there's a remedy. There's a man called Jesus, and he loves you, and he came to save your life, and he wants to take you to heaven with you. So in closing, I say to you today, church, as that man, when that train come by, he got right out there, boy, he grabbed that stop sign the day that you could see it. And at nighttime, boy, he'd grab that lantern. He'd run out there in the middle and hold that lantern up to warn men and women about the danger to come. Folks, God help us to do that. If you know Christ Jesus, Lord, let's be holding that lantern up to warn folks that come up and down this street, folks that you may talk to in the store. You don't know what impact you may have on somebody's life. So God help us. Thank you for allowing me to come. You pray for me when it goes well with you, folks. I just, little boy over in Hubbard's Branch, wants to do what God bids me to do. I love you. And God bless you is my prayer. May we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service here that you've blessed us to come to, Lord, to speak of your precious name. Father, we pray that as we leave this place, Lord, may we leave bolder than we came. May we realize our true identity in Christ Jesus our Lord. And remember mostly who we are, where we're going to spend eternity. And we thank you by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we're going to go home soon. God, help us to be able to be a witness, to try to help and to spread the gospel, Lord, that men and women might flee from the wrath to come. We ask that you'd bless this precious church. God, we ask that you'd bless my brother and my friend Matthew and his wife Gwen. Bless his little brother, Lord, and his mom and dad and his brother, Lord, his other brother. Bless them, Father. We ask that you just keep them, Lord. Keep them safe, healthy, Lord, and help them declare the blood of Jesus. We ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.